A flower rests atop a film reel. Magnolia Pictures. On a red background, a black and white logo appears in a box, Why Not Productions. Two sparks draw out a line. The lines form the letters of a logo, WB. Wild Bunch. Sparkling matter collects into a logo beside an orange square, Orange Studio. Warm light pours into a bedroom plastered with posters. A woman lies on top of the covers in a black dress. The door opens, and a teenage girl strolls in with a backpack over her shoulder.
Mom?
Kat?
You okay?
Yeah. I'm fine.
Why are you all dressed up?
What do you mean?
Sitting up, she feels her dress.
What time is it?
Almost 5.
Really? I need to get dinner started.
Lost in a faraway look, her mother picks up her high heels and drifts past her.
I was 17 when my mother disappeared. Just as I was becoming nothing but my body, flesh and blood and raging hormones. She stepped out of hers and left it behind.
In the living room, her dark-haired mother studies her reflection, then fades away. Text appears over shimmering blue. Why Not Productions and Desperate Pictures present, in co-production with Wild Bunch, Orange Studio, a film by Greg Araki. Shailene Woodley, Eva Green, Christopher Maloney, Shiloh Fernandez, Gabourey Sidibe, and Thomas Jane. A title, White Bird in a Blizzard. With Dale Dickey, Mark Indelicato, Cheryl Lee, and Angela Bassett. A school bus pulls up to a curb, and Kat puts on her headphones as she gets off. She shoves her hands in her pockets, wandering down a quiet suburban street under a luminous canopy of trees. The chain looped across her backpack swings side to side as she strides down the street. Now, Kat arrives at a ranch home and cuts across the leaf-covered lawn to the front door. She lets her backpack drop to one hand and rests her headphones around her neck. The door opens, and a blind woman greets her.
Hi, Mrs. Hillman. Is Phil home?
No. I'm sorry, Katrina. He's not back yet.
Really? He's supposed to pick me up from school.
I'm sure he's on his way. You know how he is. Would you like to come in and wait for him?
That's okay. Just tell him to stop by.
I will.
Thanks, Mrs. Hillman.
No problem, dear.
As Kat turns and heads off, Mrs. Hillman catches the screen door and shuts the front door behind it. Kat puts her headphones back on and crosses the street toward another modest home. A vibrant purple sky shines overhead. Text, Fall Winter, 1988. As she arrives home, Kat pulls down her headphones. She reaches into her pocket, shutting off her music.
Dad? What are you doing home already?
He looks past her from a chair.
Have you seen your mother?
No. Why?
She's gone.
What do you mean she's gone?
I came home and she wasn't here.
She's probably at the store or something.
Car's in the garage.
Oh my God, stop being so melodramatic. She'll turn up.
I called everyone. Nobody's seen her.
Dad, don't worry. I'm sure everything's fine.
Yeah.
I'm going to my room.
Later, in bed, she talks on the phone with a boy.
Yeah, it was weird. She didn't leave a note or anything. And Dad is totally freaking out.
Where do you think she is?
Maybe she finally left him. She's been threatening to for all these years.
Was she, like, acting weird or something?
Actually, no. Last week, I came home from school and I found her sleeping in my bed.
What?
Yeah. Random, right? When she woke up, she seemed like all confused and out of it. I think she was still having a dream. So anyways, where the hell were you today?
Oh, yeah. Sorry, I was hanging out at Thomas's and...
And you were stoned.
Maybe.
You want me to come over?
I don't know. I kind of have a lot of homework.
Since when do you give a shit about homework?
My mom's been on my case lately about my grades.
Phil, we haven't had sex in like over a week. I miss fucking you.
Same here, babe, but you know what they say. Absence makes the heart get stronger.
Phil, are you in there?
I'm on the phone.
Could you come out here for a minute, honey? I heard a strange noise outside.
You're always hearing strange noises. Yeah, I'll be out in a sec. I gotta go. My crazy mom is imagining things again.
Okay. Talk to you later.
In the dining room, Kat's mustached father, Brock, sits at the empty table. Kat hovers by a chair.
So no word?
Getting nothing, Kat shuffles past him, dragging her feet as she goes to the kitchen sink. She grabs a spoon and opens the fridge, where she takes out a pint of ice cream. Brock's gaze remains straight ahead as Kat leans against the wall and eats a spoonful. She picks at it, distracted.
You think we should call the police?
I don't want them coming here for all the neighbors to see. Your mother wouldn't like it.
Kat eats another spoonful. She starts off.
If we don't hear anything by morning, let's take a drive down to the station.
She drops her gaze, then glances at him.
Mom?
Kat stands in a stark snowscape in an all-white outfit. Snowflakes settle around her, and she folds her arms for warmth as she takes a hesitant step.
Mom?
The falling snow blends the land and the sky, and Kat finds her mother, Eve, lying naked atop the snow just below a small tree. Approaching, Kat finds her mother's eyes closed. A sparse layer of snow coats her pale skin.
Mom? Mom, what happened?
Eve's eyes open and meet Kat's worried gaze. Kat wakes in bed, staring at the ceiling. Her head rolls to the side, and she eyes a nightlight.
When I was little, my mother tried to curl my hair.
Young Kat wears curlers in bed. Later, Eve brushes out her straight hair.
Oh well, we tried. It looks a little fuller, I suppose.
She named me Katrina so that she could call me Kat, because she always wanted a pet.
Come here, Kat. Purr for me, kitty, come on. Purr.
Purr.
That's it. Good, good little kitty.
For years, I thought I was her pet.
Smiling, they toss a white sheet up on the bed and duck under it as it drifts down. They each wear loose white outfits as they disappear and reappear behind the folds of the sheet. Kat's smile fades as she props the sheet up again and again.
Mama?
Traces of Eve appear. Finally, she lifts the sheet high.
I'm here, Kat. I'm here.
Now, young Kat stands by a spread of Christmas cookies while Eve ices them. Kat reaches for one, but Eve bats her hand away.
No more for you. God, you're getting fatter by the hour.
My mother always wanted me to be a sylph, all lithe, elegant like her. And when I hit puberty, my body changed seemingly overnight, the bulk melting off like I was a snowman in the sun. Only, instead of finally pleasing her, that somehow made her resent me even more.
Do you love that boy?
God, Jesus, you scared me. How long have you been standing there?
Sorry, I didn't mean to startle you.
Kat covers up with a towel while Eve sips her wine.
Well, are you going to answer my question?
What question?
That boy next door. Do you love him?
What are you talking about? It's none of your business.
I don't love your father. I can't stand him, as a matter of fact.
What the fuck? Why would you say that to me? Go fucking tell it to someone else.
Kat storms out of the bathroom.
So no note, huh?
Brock and Kat sit with a detective.
No, nothing.
You say she didn't pack a bag?
Well, nothing seems to be missing as far as I can tell.
He trades a look with Kat, and the detective makes a note of it. Kat spots his USMC tattoo.
The detective was the polar opposite of men like my father and Phil. He was the kind of man who carried a gun, got into fights, killed things with his bare hands.
Was she depressed? Was she on any kind of medication or taking anything?
She didn't kill herself, if that's what you're trying to imply.
He sits back with a frown.
Well, good news is, and there's no matches at any of the hospitals or morgue. No evidence of foul play. However, and I hate to be the one to tell you this, hundreds of wives go missing every week. The woman wants to vanish, buddy, so you can't.
Are you saying there's nothing we can do?
Oh, sure there is. I recommend you alert your friends, your neighbors, tell them to be on the lookout. Keep an eye on your bank account, your credit cards, or any kind of activity. Got an answering machine? Mm-hmm. Good, keep it on. Your wife might try to contact you. Feel free to call me if anything comes up.
He slides two business cards across the table with his name, Theo Saizieshes. In the parking lot, Kat and Brock return to their gray sedan. Keeping his head bowed, Brock climbs into the driver's seat as Kat puts on her seatbelt. Brock stares at the wheel, his features weakening.
Dad?
Your mother never loved me.
I didn't know what to say because I couldn't remember my mother ever looking at my dad with anything but contempt. Maybe a zillion eons ago when they were young, it was different.
Bathed in golden light, a younger Brock and Eve drift into the empty house with a realtor.
It's perfect, right?
It's everything I've ever wanted.
She was tall, stunning, like a movie star. They were the quintessential American couple, the future unfurling before them like some endless magic carpet. If homemaking was an art or science, my mother would have won a Nobel Prize. But once the house was immaculate and everything was in its place, she had nothing left to do but plan the emptiness of days to come. And gradually, the beautiful woman she once was became no more than a phantom wandering away in a snowstorm.
Brock arrives home, beaming.
Hello, sweetheart. What's for dinner?
Meatloaf.
Yum! Your meatloaf is a catch meow. Mm-hmm. Mm. So anyway, do you remember that ticket I bought at the office raffle?
Not really.
Well, guess what? I won. It's crockpot.
We don't need a crockpot.
What are you talking about? These are the latest thing. Everyone's getting one. You can make stews, pot roast, chili.
Well, I don't have time to fuss with it now. I have to finish dinner. Just put it out of the way. Over there on top of the fridge.
He was her doormat. She treated him like shit and he let her. So imagine my shock when I visited my father at work one day and discovered he had game. Every woman there was into him. Flirting with him, batting their eyelashes.
Good morning, Mr. Connors. And who is this pretty young lady?
Good morning, Mendy. This is Kat, the new receptionist.
I was stunned. These women actually thought my dad was hot. But to my mother, he would always be pathetic. A constant reminder of the unbearable repetition and dullness of her life. My parents' marriage was like a long drink of water from a frozen fountain. So cold it turned her teeth to diamonds. It was hardly a surprise to learn their sex life sucked.
She finds a book called Achieving Orgasm.
Meanwhile, my father had his own drawer of secrets.
Young Kat unlocks a drawer and finds porn magazines inside.
So they just went on like that. My mom never coming, my dad jacking off in the basement, all the while pretending everything was fine. That we are the perfect family living this perfect fucking life.
Brock gets off to a Hustler magazine on the basement couch. At the dinner table, teenage Kat and her parents stare at their food as they eat.
Pass the butter.
Eve directs a death glare at her husband, then puts on a hollow smile and hands it over.
Thank you.
There were times when I thought she was going mad. That she was going to suffocate my father one night with a pillow. That she was going to burn the fucking house down. But instead, she vanished.
How does that make you feel?
I don't know.
You don't know? Do you miss her?
No, not really. My dad made me see a shrink because he thought I needed to process my feelings about my mother leaving. Thing is, I didn't have any feelings. Dr. Thaler reminds me of an actress playing a therapist. And when we have a session, I feel like an actress playing myself.
I have been having kind of weird dreams lately.
A bad actress. Doing a shitty job.
Like I'm driving through this gnarly snowstorm. And I can't see anything. I mean, there's snow everywhere. And then out of nowhere, this figure appears. I can't, like, make it out in any detail or anything, but I just somehow know that it's my mother. And I try to swerve, but I can feel the car hit something. I get out and I look all around, but there's no body, like, nothing. Just snow and blinding whiteness everywhere. I've been having these dreams ever since my mom left.
That's not unusual, especially given the trauma of your situation. However, contrary to popular belief, dreams don't necessarily mean anything. We all have strange dreams. But in most cases, it's just your brain's way of letting off steam at the end of the day.
No.
In her bedroom with Phil.
I'm worried about you, Kat.
What do you mean?
This is too much to deal with on your own. Is that shrink you're seeing helping any?
I guess. I've only been a couple of times.
Yeah, well, my mom said therapy helped her a lot after my dad left.
Staring off, he takes a hit from a blunt.
I still don't understand how she could do this to you.
She wanted out, I guess.
So? It's no excuse. At least my dad told us he was leaving. He didn't just leave us in the dark, wondering.
Whatever. Can we just stop talking and fuck?
Gotta get back before my mom freaks out. Plus, isn't your dad coming home soon?
No, not for at least an hour.
Yeah, well,
Last thing I want is for him to catch us again. Last time he got so mad, I thought he was gonna kill me. Just give your shrink a chance, will you?
All right.
Seriously, you need to let some of your anger out. You're gonna crack. Just like your mom. It's like a vicious circus. Catch you later.
He gives her a kiss on the forehead and heads out. In her basement, Kat hangs out with two friends.
I don't mean to sound crass, but if I don't get some dick soon, I'm gonna explode.
Join the fucking club, sister.
Look on the bright side. At least you've had real sex. I'm so paranoid about AIDS, I have to live vicariously through you.
Hey, well, the problem is that once you've had real sex, it's like all you can ever think about. And Phil barely even touches me anymore. He, like, gives me a goodnight peck and that's it.
What? That's fucked up.
I know. It's like we're some old married couple.
Maybe you should bang that hot detective you're so into.
What? What are you talking about? He's like 40. It's not even legal, I don't think.
Kat, he's a cop. If anyone knows how to do shit without getting caught, he does.
And plus, she'll be 18 in a few weeks anyway.
Okay, whatever. I am not screwing a 40-year-old cop, okay? Back to the problem at hand, getting Phil to fuck me.
Well, have you talked to him about it?
I tried. All he says is that he's got a lot on his mind, and that I need to cut him some slacks.
Oh my God, what a fucking moron!
I know Phil's not the brightest crayon in the box.
That is the understatement of the century.
That's what I kind of like about him, you know? It's just simple. I know it sounds perverse, but he's kind of like my dad in that way. He scratches surface and it's just more surface.
Kat meets Phil after school. They kiss, then hit the road. Keeping one eye on the road, he unzips his jeans. Phil's truck swerves out of oncoming traffic.
Phil is literally the boy next door. And when he and his mother moved in last year, I instantly despised him. He was so dull and stupid. I made fun of him. He even earned a special nickname. Garbage. But then, one night that summer, everything changed.
Red lights glow in a crowded club at night.
Me, Beth, and Mickey were doing what we did every Wednesday. And even more bored than usual.
Sometimes I wish someone would burn this place to the ground so we didn't have to come here anymore.
Tell me about it. Every week it's the same fucking people with the same fucking songs in the exact same fucking order. Oh my God.
What?
Look what the bats dragged in.
What the hell is garbage doing here?
Oh shit, he's coming over here.
What a fucking freak!
Guys, be cool! Come on.
Phil's eyes scan the club, landing on Kat.
Hey!
Hey!
You live across the street from me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm Phil.
I'm Kat. This is, Beth and Mickey.
Hey. This place seems cool.
Mm-hmm.
Come here a lot?
Sometimes.
Phil opens his mouth to speak, then looks at his feet.
Is this your first time here?
Uh-huh.
Song.
Me too.
Phil shifts his weight, contemplating his next move.
Hey, do you want to dance?
Kat glances at her friends with a smile.
Start.
Kat and Phil move onto the dance floor, where they face each other, arms swirling and heads bobbing to the music. Blue and pink lights shine throughout the space, illuminating their bodies as they rock to the beat. They circle each other, feeling the bead and locking eyes with nervous smiles. As the lights flash and silhouettes of other dancers flow by in the hazy club, Phil leans in, and they kiss. Now, they see a movie together, make out on a couch, and hold each other close in a pool. Kat rides him piggyback in a parking lot while he spins like a top. They kiss in the school hallway, then make out under the stars on the roof of his truck. Now, they hurtle through her door, kissing while locked in each other's embrace.
Wait, what if your parents come home?
It's my mom's shopping day, my dad's at work.
Kat swipes all the stuffed animals off her bed, and strips naked with Phil. They fall to the bed with him on top. He kisses her from her breast, up her neck, and to her lips.
You sure?
Kat relaxes into a smile, and Phil furrows his brow as he thrusts in slowly. She shuts her eyes and grabs a fistful of his wild hair.
You okay? Okay.
And like that, in a blink, my virginity disappeared. Just like my mother.
Hold on. I'm coming.
Mrs. Hillman feels for the doorknob.
Good afternoon, Mrs. Hillman. It's Eve Connors from next door.
Oh. Hello.
Do you have a moment? May I come in?
Yes, of course. Is everything all right?
Everything's fine. I just thought we should have a little chat.
Oh, please. Sit. Can I get you a cup of tea or coffee, Mrs. Connors?
No, thank you. And please call me Eve.
So, what can I help you with, Eve?
Well, it seems my daughter Kat and your son are dating.
I know. They're going to some big fancy dance next week.
Fall formal.
That's it. Phil is... He's so excited.
I thought it might be a good idea for us to get acquainted, so I wanted to introduce myself and...
Oh, whoops.
Phil?
Sorry, I didn't know anyone was here.
Phil, this is Kat's mother, Mrs. Connors.
Hey.
She just came by to say hello.
Okay. Well, I'm just gonna head to my room.
A shirtless Phil refastens the towel around his waist, and Eve's gaze lingers on him. Smiling, he disappears.
He's a nice boy. You can rest assured, Eve, that my Phil will take good care of your daughter. He's rented a tux and everything.
Yes. I'm taking Kat to the mall this afternoon to buy a new dress.
In Dr. Thaler's office.
If your mother was so unhappy, why do you think she married your father in the first place?
God, I have no idea. Because he was there? I mean, he wanted to marry her. She had no other choice, maybe? I mean, she went to college and she was working as a receptionist, but what else was she gonna do?
Brock and Eve face each other, aglow in their wedding clothes.
I guess life with my father must have been pretty bleak and miserable for her. In the weeks before she left, I noticed that she started dressing different.
What do you mean, different?
Like, her clothes got tighter, sexier. I mean, she even bought a miniskirt. Then there was that night that she walked in on me and Phil.
I think it's time for Phil to go home.
What? Why?
It's late.
It's not even midnight.
Kat, what I say goes. And I say go to bed.
The weirdest part was that she had on this nightgown that was practically see-through. It was almost like she was putting on a show.
Could it be that's what she was doing?
What, putting on a show? For me or for Phil? No. I think she was just bored. And getting older and trying to get whatever attention she could. It was almost like she wanted to have an affair or something.
Do you think that's what was going on?
No, I mean, I can't imagine it. But I guess anything's possible, right?
Oh, sorry.
Phil finds Eve lounging by her pool.
I tried knocking, but there was no answer.
That's all right. Can I help you with something?
I'm just looking for my mom's stupid cat. Have you seen him?
Can't say that I...
Okay. Sorry to bother you, Mrs. Connors.
Mrs. Connors sounds so formal. Call me Eve.
Oh. All right.
You know, the time when I was your age doesn't seem so far away to me.
Well, I should probably look for my mom's cat.
Phil, would you like to have dinner with us tonight? I'm making crab thermidor.
Sure.
Dinner is at 7.
Cool. Thanks, Mrs. Connor. I mean, Eve.
As Phil wanders off, wearing just a pair of swim trunks, Eve gives him a smile and returns to her magazine and iced tea. At a payphone outside her school, Kat pulls out Theo's card and dials the number.
Yeah, you've reached Detective Theo Caesar. Let's leave a message after the beep.
Hi, Detective, it's Kat Connors. I'm just calling because I think I might have some information about my mother.
Licking her lip uneasily, she hangs up. After dark, Kat pulls into a parking lot and checks her lipstick in the mirror. She brushes a strand of hair out of her face and puts on a smile, climbing out of the sedan. In the drab hallway of an apartment building, she finds a room numbered 308 and adjusts her hair, then knocks. Theo opens up wearing an undershirt.
Hey. Thanks again for meeting me here. Couldn't bear the thought of going to the office on my day off.
No problem.
Come on in.
Thank you.
Ain't fancy, but it's home. Can I get you a drink?
Yeah, sure.
I'd offer you a beer, but you're not of age.
I'd take one anyway.
All right, then.
She surveys the tiny apartment while he goes to the fridge.
Sit down.
Taking off her bag and jacket, Kat takes a seat on a couch next to a lamp. She smooths down her hair, crossing her legs. Theo returns with 2 beers and hands her one.
Thanks.
So? What do you want to talk to me about?
I called because I have some new information. I just remembered some things, and I think my mother may have been having an affair.
Oh, yeah?
I mean, it could explain why she left, right?
Maybe. I'll look into it on Monday. Is that it?
I just thought that it might be, like, relevant to the case.
Yeah. Are you nervous?
I guess. A little.
Well, you know you can leave anytime you want, right?
Oh, I know.
But you don't want to leave, do you?
She looks off.
Because you came here to seduce me. Well, congratulations, sweetheart. It worked. I'm seduced. Now, how old are you?
18.
You're not a virgin, are you?
No.
So, you know what's about to happen, right? I'm not sure that's what you want. Because I'm not one of your punk classmates from school, you know?
I know.
Theo sets his beer down, and Kat slumps back further into the couch. He considers her.
Well, you're hot, that's for sure. Your tits aren't perfect. But you already know that, don't you?
She stares back at him, looking him over.
Maybe I should come over there and join you.
He gets to his feet and settles down beside her on the couch. Nervously, she picks up her coat and sets it on her lap, making room for him.
Is that her?
Mm-hmm.
Leaning over, he tucks her hair behind her ear and strokes her cheek, then runs his hand up her bare arm.
Why don't you take this top off?
Pressing her lips together as she smiles, she slips the straps of her dress off her shoulders, revealing her naked chest. She confidently lounges back against the couch as he pulls her coat out of the way. She watches as Theo cups a hand around one of her breasts. He glances up and meets her eye.
Fucking amazing.
Their lips grow closer, and his hand rubs against her thighs.
That's what you want.
Theo presses his lips to hers, and she falls on top of him as they spread across the couch. Now, the bedside clock reads 1:27. Kat sleeps with her head resting on his chest. Her eyes open, and she finds him staring at the ceiling.
Everything all right?
Yeah, I just don't sleep so good sometimes. I've seen a lot of bad shit. Dead people are very unhappy about it.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Trust me, you don't want to know.
Try me.
Mary. Once there was this obese man. Some sick fucking doused him with gasoline and lit him on fire. And by the time we got to the body, 2 days later, he was still burning.
What?
Guy had so much body fat. He's like a human candle. And there's one thing I've learned in all my years as a cop. Some people are capable of doing horrible, unimaginable things to each other. How slender you are. I could break you in half.
I'm tougher than I look.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, charming?
Yes.
Oh my God.
What? It's easy.
What do you mean it was easy?
You know, I went over there and I fucked him.
Wow. I'm impressed. Truly, truly impressed. So was it hot?
Oh, hell yes. Like, so much better than Phil.
Deets, girl, deets.
He's just, like, so manly. Like, cock and balls and, like, hairy chest and muscles. And, like, the way he smells Beth is so intense. It's, like, primal. Oh, I can still smell him on me now.
Oh, my God, let me chill. Oh, God, that's so hot. One day I hope some musky macho stud will fuck the shit out of me, too.
Oh, it'll happen.
Oh, yeah. When? I'm so proud of you.
Why? Because I fucked an old guy?
Yeah. I mean, don't take this the wrong way, Kat, but for the longest time, you were acting like you were still fat.
Oh, my God. What are you talking about?
I mean, you lost all that weight, like, what, 3 years ago? But you're still skulking around all angsty and awkward, like a fat chick, like me and Mickey, who's basically a fat chick in a skinny gay body.
You're crazy.
It's true.
Mr. Connors, this is Cheryl from the Loma Linda Police Department. I'm pleased to inform you that you passed your lie detector test. Thank you for your cooperation and have a nice day.
Why would your dad need to take a lie detector test?
I have no idea.
Well, do you think the cops think he knows something?
My dad? Beth, have you met him? You have the coolest in the dictionary, and there's a picture of him. Must be some kind of mistake.
Probably.
Well, I think that's his car. Just ask him.
Do you want me to leave?
What? No. Whatever. I'm sure it's nothing.
My sweetheart, Beth. Kids didn't spend too much money at the mall, I hope.
Nope. I just picked up a few things. Hey, Dad, there was a message for you on the machine from the police department.
Is there news about your mother?
No. They said that you passed a lie detector test.
Oh. Well, whoop-dee-doo. So, you going to join us for dinner, Beth?
I don't think so, Mr. Connors.
Dad, why would they want you to take a lie detector test?
Beats me. It's standard procedure in cases like this, I guess. So what are you feeling, sweetheart? Should we order takeout from that rib place?
Yeah, sure.
Eve opens Kat's bedroom door at night, waking her with the light from the hallway.
Mom? What is it? What's going on?
Is Phil a good fuck?
Go to bed, Mom.
Don't you turn your back on me.
Seriously, just go back to bed.
I will not be dismissed by the likes of you. Answer me! Is Phil a good fuck?
What would you know about fucking anyway?
Eve rips the covers off.
Oh my, what are you doing?
What is this? Mom, why are you naked?
I was hot! Jesus! Get out of my room! Why are you doing this? What did I ever do to you? Stop!
I do too know what a good fuck is. Little slut.
What is your problem? Are you insane? What is fucking wrong with you?
What kind of mother would do something like that?
My mother? What? What? That's just how she was. I mean, everyone has a crappy childhood. It's not like she beat me. So my mom wasn't Hallmark card perfect, so fucking what? I just think she was lonely. I used to catch her staring at me like I was wearing something that I had stolen from her.
Eve watches Kat get ready.
You look like I looked when I was you.
What?
I mean, you look like I looked when I was your age.
Whatever, lurker. What? What do you want?
Nothing.
Oh my God, stop gawking at me or creeping me out. Just, like, get out of here. Just leave me alone.
Kat sits curled up on Dr. Thaler's couch.
About a week before she disappeared, Phil and I were in the basement doing homework. It was like any other ordinary night.
Eve stumbles downstairs in a short skirt with a glass of wine.
Well, what do you think? You like? Pretty sexy for 42, huh?
Mom, what are you doing?
Loosen up, Miss Prissy Pants. Phil! Why don't you and your mother join us for dinner? I'm making my world-famous beef Wellington.
Okay, Mrs. Connors. I'll ask.
Splendid! I'm in the mood for celebrating.
She kicks off her heels.
Okay, Mom, whatever. We get it already.
What's the matter, Kat? Can't stand seeing your mother have a little fun for a change? Party is over before it's even begun.
Good night. Where you are. What you doing?
Brock looks her up and down.
What's going on? Why are you dressed like that?
What? You don't like it?
No, I don't.
Well, tough shit. You don't like this skirt.
Eve, stop
it. I don't care. You don't like this skirt and I don't care. You don't like this skirt and I don't... Get your goddamn hands off! I'll wear whatever the hell I want. Whenever I want to!
What are you doing?
What I do every fucking night of my fucking life. Making your fucking dinner.
She opens a freezer full of rotten meat.
Oh, Jesus!
Oh, shit! What reeks?
The meat. It's all rotten.
Must have got unplugged.
Don't just stand there. Plug it back in. It smells like a fucking dead body in here.
All four hurry upstairs.
Well, looks like we're going out for dinner tonight. Want to get Chinese?
No. I don't want fucking Chinese.
Okay, then what would make you happy, Evie? What do you want?
I don't want this. I don't want any of it. You. This house.
Evie.
I want my fucking life back.
Come on, sweetheart. Let's go to dinner.
I don't want fucking dinner! Why won't anyone listen to me?
Kat avoids her gaze. Brock and Phil stare after her as she stomps off. Daytime in the living room. Eve tries a smile in the mirror. Holding the smile on her lips, she turns and opens the front door, letting in a dazzling white light. She steps across the threshold. Text, Spring, 1991. In a dorm room at night, Kat and another girl sit on their beds.
So out of the blue, she was just like, poof? Pretty much. Wow. You told me your mom left, but not like that. Well, we've been roommates for almost a year, so. But don't you wonder where she is? I mean, she's got to be somewhere, right? I don't know, it's weird. I hardly even think about her anymore. You know, it's like so much time has passed that I've kind of just gotten used to it. I guess going home next week for break has kind of resurrected the ghost from my past.
Speaking of ghosts, you're not going to go see that loser boyfriend of yours, what's his name, are you?
You mean Phil? Maybe. Why?
Well, you know, I'm Team Oliver.
We've only been dating for a couple of months.
So that's enough to know that he's hot and smart and actually has a future. Unlike, what's his name?
Cindy, you met Phil once for a weekend.
Yeah, that was enough.
Whatever. The future bores me.
Outside.
What's going on with you tonight? Is everything okay?
Yeah, why?
I don't know, you seem a million miles away.
Sorry. Just a little preoccupied. I'm fine.
Oliver stares as she gets out a cigarette.
What?
Nothing.
Don't say nothing when it's something.
Okay, you know I don't like it when you smoke. It's bad for you, especially since you're on the pill.
Yeah, well, this is only my second one today. I'm cutting back just for you.
Don't cut back for me. Okay, it's your health we're talking about.
She takes a drag, then stamps it out.
Okay, doctor. Are you satisfied?
Not if you're gonna be mad.
Why would I be mad? Just because you're telling me what to do? I mean, I can't smoke in my room because Cindy says it stinks, and I can't smoke around you because you say it's unhealthy.
Yeah, it's not like you're addicted to nicotine. You've been smoking for 2 months.
Okay, well, whatever. I just want to be free to do what I want.
Okay, fine. Go ahead and smoke. I don't want to fight.
He softens.
Look, I'm sorry, okay? I want you to be happy.
I'm just gonna head home.
Wait, what?
I'm going. I have studying to do.
Kat, come on. What are you doing? Just stay.
Good night, Oliver.
Oh, my God. What is the matter with you? Seriously. What did I do? Kat? Kat!
A plane soars through a clear blue sky. Inside, Kat listens to a cassette labeled Kat's Mix through her headphones. Now, she waits, staring off near a baggage carousel with her arms folded.
I've been living so long with my pictures of you.
Turning, she sees Brock trotting over, waving to her excitedly. She takes off her headphones.
Hey, hi, Dad.
Wow.
What?
I can't believe how grown up you look.
Oh, God. Can we forego the theatrics, please?
What? Ever. As jaded as you want, I've missed my little girl. I'm not ashamed to say so. So how's Berkeley? Thanks for all the letters, by the way.
Oh, sorry. I've been setting my ass.
I know. You're a big city girl now, no time for your poor old dad. I'm glad you're home, sweetheart.
Yeah. Should we?
Yeah, no, I got it. Oh.
Thank you.
Here.
Anything new and exciting around here?
Oh, not really. Pretty much the same old, same old.
What? Dad? Dad, what is it? Why are you acting all weird?
Well, I do have a bit of news.
Is everything okay?
Everything's fine. I just,
Oh my God, just spit it out already.
I've been seeing someone.
Really?
Yes, does that make you angry?
What? Are you kidding me? No, Dad, Mom's been gone a long time. Why shouldn't you see other women?
Well, good.
So, what's her name?
May. She's a sales rep I met at the office.
Dad, that's so great. Seriously, I'm really happy for you.
Thank you, sweetheart. That means a lot to me. So, what are your plans while you're at home?
I have some studying to do, but mostly I just want to relax, see some old friends. You know, the usual.
Kat appears at Theo's door in a sleeveless dress.
Wow. Welcome back, stranger.
At a mall.
Such a fucking rebel.
Kat, you're my new idol.
Oh my God, I've missed you guys. I mean, my friends at Berkeley are nice and everything, but it's kind of boring.
Oh, I missed you too. What I haven't missed is this shitty little pisshole of a town. Oh my God, my mom told me to clean my room this morning. I almost bludgeoned her to death.
Ugh, I can't believe we ever lived here.
Oh, I know. Although I kind of find it reassuring how this place never changes. You know, it's like it's frozen in time.
And you think you've changed?
Oh yeah, I'd say so. And definitely feel more comfortable in my own skin.
School's going well?
Mm-hmm.
And I assume you haven't heard from your mother?
Nope, not a word.
How are you feeling about that? It's been over 2 years.
I don't know. It's kind of gotten to the point where I just don't even expect to hear from her anymore. Like, I've just come to this weird sort of acceptance of it. Guess I've just moved on. I mean, even my dad has himself a new girlfriend.
Does that bother you at all?
Mm-mm. Why should it? My mother's gone. She's never coming back.
She gives Dr. Thaler a small smile. Later, Kat's car pulls into an empty lot by a brick wall that reads BT Industrial Supply. Inside, she finds Phil on one knee in a store apron marking boxes with price stickers.
Hey.
Hey. How you doing? You look great.
Thank you. You too.
Hey, Aaron. Okay if we grab a smoke break?
Make it quick. We got a fuckload of work to do.
She follows him outside, where he smokes.
So school's going good?
It's all right. How about you? How have you been?
You know, work, taking care of my mom. Same old, same old.
How is she?
My mom?
Yeah.
Batshit crazy as ever.
Can I have one?
Sure. You're smoking now.
Sometimes. Thanks.
He hands her a cigarette and passes her his own lit one. She uses it to light hers, then returns it.
When'd you get back into town?
A couple of days ago. I'm sorry, I would have called sooner, just been really busy and...
Whatever. It's cool.
But we should hang out while I'm here. Catch a movie or something.
Yeah. Sounds good.
Here till Thursday.
Cool.
He slips his cigarette between his lips, awkwardly stretching out his arms.
You don't have to. You know.
Have to what?
See me. I mean, I know you may not have time for an asshole like me now that you're a hot shit college student.
Phil, what are you talking about? Of course I want to see you.
Yeah, whatever. I better get back to work before my boss has a cow.
Blowing out smoke, she eyes him as he leaves. In a dim restaurant, she joins Brock and May at a table.
I am so sorry that I'm late. Traffic was ridiculous.
No problem, sweetheart. Kat, this is May. May, Kat.
I'm so happy we finally get the chance to meet. I've heard so much about you.
Oh, me too.
Well, you're even lovelier than your father described.
Oh. I'm sure that's not true, but thank you anyway.
So how long will you be in town, Katrina?
Oh, just a week. And it's back to the salt mines.
Kat got almost all A's her first semester.
Wow, congratulations.
Yeah, I lucked out. You guys ordered yet? I'm starved.
Your favorite, the spinach artichoke appetizer? It's already on its way.
Oh, yes.
I'm going to make a quick trip to the ladies' room. If the waiter comes, You know what I want.
Right.
He half rises from his chair as she heads off. Sitting back down, Brock catches a smile from Kat.
So, are you all right with this?
What? You mean May? Yeah, Dad, I like her. She seems sweet.
I just don't want it to be awkward for you.
Dad, I told you I'm thrilled that you met someone. Seriously, you deserve to be happy.
Kat watches him take a sip of his wine.
Took off your wedding ring.
It makes me uncomfortable. I put it back on when she's not around.
Why bother? I mean, Mom left us. She's the one who made that choice. I accept that now. It's about time we get on with our lives.
Nighttime at the house. Kat drifts across the living room and sees Eve at the sink, washing dishes.
Mom?
Eve turns.
Kat. What is it? What's wrong?
I put my hands in the water, and they disappeared.
What?
I was doing the dishes, and the water was so cold. There was a spoon at the bottom of the sink, and when I lifted my hands out of the water...
She shows her empty sleeves. Kat wakes up with her head resting on Theo's bare chest. Blinking, she rolls over.
What's the matter?
Nothing. Just have strange dreams sometimes.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. It started after my mother disappeared. I used to get him all the time. It's actually the first one I've had in weeks.
Hardly ever talk about your mother.
There's not much to say. She's gone. The shrink says dreams are meaningless.
I don't think I agree with that.
What do you think my dreams mean?
You really want my opinion?
Of course, why wouldn't I?
As you know, we did an exhaustive search for your mother.
Exhaustive? You guys barely even looked for her.
Actually, a very thorough investigation was done. We spent over 2 years looking for your mom. Not a single trace was ever found.
Mm-hmm. Whatever. So where do you think she is?
I think she's dead.
What?
Well, you said yourself she was having an affair, which we confirmed with your neighbor, Mrs. Blindman.
Mrs. Hillman.
Whenever she said your mom had a boyfriend.
How would she know?
She's nosy.
She can't see. Wait, whatever. Even if my mom did have a boyfriend, wouldn't it just make it that much more likely that she just ran off somewhere? What? What? What is it? What are you saying?
We did a thorough background check on your father. Several interviewees told us. He was a pretty jealous and volatile man.
My dad is a fucking wimp. That's why I used to drive my mom crazy.
Not according to Bob and Margie Carlson.
Who are they?
They're former neighbors of your parents. Used to live next door to him in Riverside. They told us that when your father suspected your mother had a thing for Bob Carlson, he lit a trash can on fire and he tossed it on their patio.
That's ridiculous. Never even heard of these people, and that was 2 decades ago. Fine, if my dad was so dangerous, then why didn't you ever arrest him?
No evidence. We didn't even have sufficient cause for a search warrant. You asked for my professional opinion, and I told you. Kat, that's just what I think.
Which is?
I think your father caught your mother fucking her boyfriend and he killed her.
Well, then what did he do with the body?
That's a damn mystery.
Kat Kat sits up and starts to pull on her clothes.
Kat. Come on. Where are you going?
You know what I think, detective? I think you're full of shit.
She crawls over him in bed and storms out. On the highway, passing signs reflect Kat's headlights. Her gaze remains straight ahead as she recalls coming home and finding Eve and Phil tenderizing a hunk of meat.
Come on, strong man. You can do better than that.
What, like this?
No. Harder. Those muscles to get used for a change. That's better. That's it. Come on, give it a whack.
Eve notices Kat, who darkens.
You already here?
Yeah. I was just helping your mom with dinner.
Unlike some people.
Kat's lips tighten, and she nods. Her features harden in the car. Now, she knocks on the Hillman's door.
Hi, Mrs. Hillman. It's Kat. I'm sorry, were you in bed?
Oh, no. I was just lying down. I haven't been feeling well.
Well, I'm sorry to bother you, but is Phil here?
No, he isn't.
Do you know where he is?
I'm afraid not. That boy sometimes goes out gallivanting till all hours of the night.
Okay, well, could you please tell him to call me as soon as he gets home? It's kind of important.
Of course.
Thank you. Sorry again for bothering you.
No, it's no problem. Good night, dear.
Good night.
Kat releases the screen door on her way off. In her living room, Kat lies back on a couch beneath a painting of a snowy landscape.
I don't think it's right with her here.
But if Kat says she's comfortable...
I don't care what Kat says.
Dad?
Honey? Oh, sorry, I didn't mean to wake you.
If you two are arguing over whether or not May can sleep over, it's totally fine.
Sweetheart, I don't think...
No, Dad, seriously, I don't mind.
Well, you're sick, and we have to get you to the airport tomorrow.
I'm almost better. My flight's not till the afternoon.
You know what? This is my house, and I call the shots around here.
He steps out, leaving Kat with May, who offers a shrugging smile.
Sorry, Kat. I didn't mean for you to get dragged into this.
She wanders off. Now, Kat drinks with Beth and Mickey in her basement.
To Phil, may he rest in pieces.
You know what, fuck Phil. Seriously, fuck him. The jerk never even called me back.
That's the spirit. Fuck Phil. Or rather, don't fuck Phil. Stop fucking Phil.
Yeah. Fuck that hot stud cop instead.
Done and done. You know, he said something kind of weird the other night.
What'd he say? I'm gonna plow you till you can't walk straight?
No. Yeah, so... He said that he thinks my dad killed my mother. What? What?
I told you that, Kat, ages ago.
We both did.
What are you talking about?
It was right after your mom disappeared, and you just didn't seem to want to hear it.
Remember? I asked if maybe your dad had something to hide. It just blew it off. He said he was too transparent to hide anything.
You guys are fucking crazy.
Yeah, forget it. We both watch way too much bad TV.
But that's why you love us, right?
God, there's nothing more disgusting than warm, flat champagne. Here, give me that.
What?
The bottle, please.
What are you doing?
It's a trick I learned at school. You put the bottle in the freezer for a few minutes, and it is chilled to perfection. Come on, help me.
Beth starts removing bundled stacks of old newspaper from the meat freezer, and Kat gets up to help her. She clicks on a light.
Mickey?
There's no way that I am moving a bunch of old, moldy newspapers. Fuck that.
Get your skinny gay ass over here.
Beth tries the lid, but it doesn't yield.
It's stuck.
What the?
She spots a combination lock.
Why would you lock a fucking freezer?
What the hell's going on down here?
Nothing. We're just talking and drinking champagne.
Well, it's time for your friends to leave.
What are you talking about?
You heard me, Kat. The party's over.
Are you joking? Dad, I hate to break it to you, but I'm a fucking adult. You can't tell me what to do.
When you're under my roof, you will do as I say. And I'm saying your friends need to go home now.
Oh, my God. What is your problem?
Oh, it's okay, Kat.
Yeah. No. Don't worry about it. Good night, Mr. Connors.
Wait, I'll walk you guys out.
Kat trails Beth and Mickey as they climb the stairs, passing Brock, who stands on a bottom step, not making eye contact. Kat hangs back and turns to her dad, her arms folded.
Thank you for completely humiliating me in front of my friends. I'm so fucking glad I'm getting out of here tomorrow. Sorry my dad is being such a douche.
Whatever, I gotta fly out early tomorrow anyway.
Me too, and I'm not even packed yet.
Sure you're okay to drive?
Unlike you lightweights, I can handle my liquor.
God, I'm gonna miss you guys.
Oh my God, drama queen. It'll be summer soon, and we'll be back in this rancid hellhole for 3 freaking months.
I know. Okay, well, take care. Don't forget to write.
Yeah. You too, shithead.
Bye, Kat. Have a safe flight, all right?
Too.
Their car takes off, cruising down the dim suburban street. Kat steps onto the road to watch it disappear into the night. Squinting, Kat sees another set of headlights approaching from the end of the street. Phil's truck stops outside his house. He climbs out of the truck, which has anarchy symbol stickers on its back bumper.
Hey.
Hey.
Are you alright? You look drunk.
Oh yeah. Like he's talking. So you've been avoiding me on purpose or what?
What do you mean?
Came by your house last week. Told your mother that I needed to talk to you.
Really? I didn't get the message. What'd you want to talk to me about?
Just been thinking about a lot of things. You know, I feel like after my mother left, everything changed between us. We were different. You were different.
Everything was different after that.
Phil, where were you that day? You were supposed to pick me up from school.
I told you. I was at Thomas's.
My God, don't you get it? It doesn't matter anymore. You don't have to lie.
What do you mean? What makes you think that I'm lying?
Okay, I'm not accusing you of lying. All I'm saying is, whatever it is that you know, you can just tell me. You know what? What we had was sweet and cute and great and everything, but I think we both know that it's over. It's in the past, and I need to know what happened that day so that I can move on with my life. Please, Phil, I'm not gonna get mad at you. I just wanna know.
I told you. I don't know anything.
Is there something going on between you and my mother?
What?
You heard me. Were you fucking my mom? Because some people think that you were.
What people? Kat, you're drunk and crazy.
Phil, I just need to know. Please, I don't care what it is. I just cannot keep living my life in the dark, just like fucking wondering.
I can't help you, Kat. Sorry.
He takes a puff of a cigarette and starts toward his house. He slows, turning back to her. She meets his gaze, her eyes brimming with tears.
But I will tell you one thing. Your dad knows where she is. He's been keeping her up his sleeve this whole time.
What do you mean?
Don't ask me. Ask him.
Phil eases off, leaving Kat staring, mouth agape. Kat returns to her house and comes to a stop in the entryway, glancing down the hall. She wanders down it, passing framed photos on the wall. She pushes open the door to Brock's bedroom and finds him passed out on the bed with the lamp on. An empty bottle rests by his outstretched hand. She rubs one eye, blinking back her emotion before continuing down the hall. Now, she finds herself adrift in the snowy landscape, turning her head as she follows the source of the sound. The blanket of snow breathes just ahead of her. Looking down, Kat sees the snow retract and expand. A frozen Eve sits up and emerges from her crypt. Kat's mouth drops open. Kat wakes on top of her covers with a distant gaze. Still fully dressed. Sunlight fills the room. She rolls over and sits on the edge of the bed. In the bathroom, she shakes a few pills into her palm and caps the bottle. After swallowing them, she returns the bottle behind a sliding door below the mirror. Beside it in the cabinet, she finds another pill bottle, this one for Prozac prescribed to May. Furrowing her brow, Kat slides the door shut. She heads into the dark basement, slowly making her way down each step. Her eyes lock onto the freezer, which sits against a brick wall. She tentatively approaches it. Kat stands over it a moment, then turns the dial on the lock using the same combination she used as a kid to access her dad's locked stash of porn magazines. She pulls open the lock and lets it drop. Kat lifts open the freezer a crack, and it emits a clear white light. Her eyes shut as she prepares to lift it higher. She flings it open, and her gaze freezes at the sight of the contents, iced over boxes and trays of meat wrapped in plastic. Kat begins pulling out the boxes. She works frantically, tearing up as she clears the freezer.
Kat!
What are you doing?
His figure darkened by shadow, Brock meets her gaze. He hesitantly steps toward her.
What?
Do you know where Mom is? Because Phil says that you do.
Phil, your stoner boyfriend who can't keep a job.
He shifts his eyes to the floor, his arms hanging at his sides.
The answer is no, I don't.
Swallowing, Kat begins to nod through her tears.
Anything else?
She shakes her head. His eyes drift across the floor, eyeing the frozen boxes.
We'll clean up this mess. We have to get you to the airport in a few hours.
Kat's face seizes up as he heads toward the steps.
Dad. Sorry.
It's all right.
Kat lets her head fall, and she holds herself in a frail embrace. Slowly leaning back, she lets herself rest on the edge of the open freezer. Now, at the airport.
So make sure to call, so I know that you landed all right.
Okay. So see you in a couple of months?
Mm-hmm.
He lowers his gaze as he nods, then firms up and brushes the hair from the side of her head. She smiles. He takes in his daughter with somber eyes.
I love you, baby.
She glances at her feet and nods.
I love you too.
They lock eyes, keeping a few feet between them. They stand motionless in front of a gate.
I should probably board.
Brock holds her evasive look.
Goodbye, sweetheart.
Turning, she wipes a tear and heads for a doorway. Just before she leaves his sight, she looks back and sees him standing alone in the near-empty terminal. He raises a hand and waves. Summoning a smile with raw red eyes, Kat returns his wave. She leaves him. Now, she sits on a plane with headphones on, shifting in her seat.
That was the last time I saw my father. It turns out Beth, Mickey, and Theo were right. A few weeks after I left, my dad got shit-faced drunk in a bar and confessed to killing my mother. He hung himself in his jail cell with a sheet. Before he died, he revealed that my mother's body was in the freezer and that he'd taken it out during the night while I was sleeping. He buried her up in the mountains. Since it had been frozen for so long,
Her corpse decomposed freakishly fast, turning to liquid as it melted. By the time they dug her up, there was basically nothing left. I was 17 when my mother disappeared. Like, one day she was there, cleaning, making dinner, and the next, she was gone.
Eve arrives home. Inside the doorway, she sets down two shopping bags and drops her keys in a dish near the door. She hangs her purse and sweater on a coat rack. Thrown off by something, she finishes hanging the sweater and wanders further inside. She moves down the hallway, passing the framed photos on the wall, and eventually arrives at the closed door of the master bedroom. She whips it open and finds Brock and Phil in bed together. They scramble for the sheets as Eve stares. Phil hops into his shorts and scurries out while Brock pulls on a pair of pants in a panic.
Stop.
Evie, stop.
He clamps his hands around her throat.
Stop.
He swings her around the room, his hands tightening.
Please. Evie. Stop.
His face trembles as her features freeze in a smile.
Stop.
She finally goes limp, and Brock pulls her into an embrace. He breaks down, pulling her body close to him. Now, Kat sits in a pew at Eve's funeral.
Because I never saw my mother again, she remains an absence to me. An empty space. An invisible, half-remembered ghost. So even now, I catch myself thinking that I'm gonna run into her someday. Like, I'll be at a stoplight and look over at the car next to me, and there she'll be, scowling at me with disapproval. Or I'll spot her across some crowded street or train station, and we'll run toward each other like one of those cheesy TV movies. She'll hug me like a long-lost lover, then take my face in her long, graceful hands, look me in the eyes and say, I'm here, Kat. I'm here.
As Kat gazes out the plane window, the view fades to pure white, then black. Credits. Casting by Wendy O'Brien, CSA. Music composed by Robin Guthrie, Harold Budd. Music supervisor Bruce Gilbert. Costume designer Mary Chisholm. Production designer Todd Fjellsted. Director of Photography Sandra Valde Hansen. Associate Producers J.B. Popplewell, Sean Vauder. Based on the novel by Laura Kosciuszko. Executive Producers Why Not Productions U.S., Julie Pear. Produced by Pascal Cochieu, Sebastian K. Lemercier, Alex Madigan-Yorkin, Pavlina Hatoupis, and Greg Araki. Written for the screen and directed by Greg Araki. More credits roll. A title fades out, White Bird in a Blizzard.